Oh, am I on? So I have to be careful what I say about you.
All the time.
Praise the Lord. Well, it's interesting. You know, I've just been coming recently, but Pastor Tim and I go back to ages past, long history. And, you know, the only thing that's changed about him is his heart is growing even larger every year, his heart for the Lord, Lord the joy. He's really a remarkable man of the Lord. But this morning, as I woke up and in my prayer time for the churches, I woke up with this phrase from the Lord, Lord, arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. And it was in conjunction with the churches as I was praying, and I felt, Pastor Tim's asked me if I've had something for this church to share it, and I feel it's not just for this church, it's for others, but it really struck me. I want to read a little bit from Isaiah chapter 60, the first few verses. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and the glory shall be seen upon thee. And this really for the churches, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes around about, and see, all they gather themselves together. They come to thee, thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. And I really feel that's for this body as well as for others. But being new, you're always uncertain, should you do this? You know, here's a stranger coming the doors. Look out, wolves come in too, and you never know. And I am a strange character if you talk to Pastor Tim. But what really confirmed it to me walking into here was what were you playing in the beginning, Dean, but the song of the glory of the Lord. Lord. Everything we did just now in worship, how often did glory, that the glory of the Lord would fill us. It would be seen in us. It would be in the temple, which is us. So I felt I needed to share this with you. Because the church has been in a dry season right now. It's not like when Tim and I were younger and you would just touch somebody and they'd be healed instantly of something. They would fall over. You would have messages. You would have 100 or so people or more at the altars and going. We had a real vigorous, and we had instant answers to prayer. But seasons come and go. And this country particularly has been in a dry season. But I tell you, the rain's coming. The rain's going to be coming. And I think that's what this is saying. His glory is going to be upon us. So open your hearts and receive the glory of the Lord. And more importantly, let it shine to each one of us. We'll bring forth the light. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you, John, for sharing. God bless you. God is so good. Glorify him. Be ye glorified. You know, that's what is all is our lives have to glorify him, and you need to glorify him. His churches need to glorify him and be in tune to him. And so thank you, Father. So today I want to go into that area of Advent and joy. And it's an important part of our Christian walk, joy. You know, we sing a song out there at times, or it's been a while, but I remember as a chorus or something that, you know, that the joy that the Lord has given to me, the world can't take it away. The world can't take it because the world didn't give it to me, this joy that I have. And so there is something very special in that area of joy as we serve him and as we allow him into our lives. And so let's look at joy. There's much more to joy than just joy, you know. But we look at it, the best way to define joy is to tell you what it's not. And now the world has different aspects of joy that I believe is similar to the world has their flavor or their thought of love. The world's love is not like God's love, far be it, you know. They're totally opposite of when we think of love, of what God has to what love of what the earth or the world has. So there is a difference between the happiness and joy. We talk and we hear people say, I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. But happiness is more dependent upon external things around you, isn't it? You know, I'm happy because of this happens. I'm happy because of this condition. I'm happy. But we find that when we talk about, well, happy's good, but I think you'll find happy is temporal because it's kind of fixated on external things in your life, things that are affecting you. Joy comes from somewhere else. We find joy welling up from within us. We should, as children of God. Amen. That we find this joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, if the world didn't give it, the world ain't gonna take it away. Now the world will try hands over fist to take that joy from you. There'll be a lot of crazy things take place, a lot of things you hear, a lot of things you see. And I believe it's those times that it's trying to rob us. Do you believe that the world wants to rob you of your joy? Do you believe, okay, if it's not the world, how about the God of this world, Satan? Do you not believe that he wants to rob you of your joy? I would hope you'd say, I believe that's my enemy and he would want to take my joy, because that's one of the strengths of God. Amen. The joy of the Lord. So, but joy springs up from deep within our being and it fills us. We hopefully, you know, we've never heard of, oh, my happy, I'm so happy it overflows. No, but we'll say, my joy, I have so much joy that it seems to what? Overflow to others around me or others. It's a contagious thing sometimes. But anyway, happy, we look at that as far as being, you know, happy or joyful, the happiness against joy. Happiness and happy is something along the line of being lucky, fortunate, or successful. Being in the enjoyment of an agreeable sensation from possessions that you have. I'm happy because I've got what? This. I'm happy because we were able to buy that. I'm happy. But we find that these things are sensations around us, the things that make us happy. And we know that the world, and even before I became that of totally sold out to God, I found that the world was giving me happiness. It was helping me. If nothing else, I felt good at the time of some things that I was doing and how the world perceived the happiness and all of that, you know, with, a wife, kids, a job, a home, a car, whatever. I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm happy. And those were external things, wasn't it? But I really realized that the joy that began to come within me developed after a relationship with Christ. I shared in the early ons with some at times that I, back at the many years now, when my love for Jesus, my love for God began to grow to the point of I needed him, I wanted him, I hungered after him. Do you hunger after God? Do you hunger after Jesus? Do you hunger after the Holy Spirit? When we begin to get to that level, I hunger, I thirst, I want more of what you have. And that love that I was developing to him began to transcend to my love to my wife. I began to early on figure out, my goodness, I am ending up, I have more love for my wife than I thought I, than I have had before. And I always thought I had love for my wife. But there was something different. There was something that really was tangible within me that said, ah, you thought you loved your wife. And I can only preface it by believing that once I turned full attention of my love to God, Jesus Christ, the things of God, that my love in here for those around me began to develop. And that it wasn't my superficial joy or superficial happiness that I was happy because I'm happy, happy. But it was a trueness of a joy within me that was deep within me. And when that joy gets deep within you, it's bound to come out. And people around you will be benefactors of that joy. Matter of fact, you will be a benefactor of that joy. Because I'm going to tell you, when you're joyful and joy is in you, you are not sad. You know, oh yeah, you go through an illness, go through a sickness, go through a hard time. But again, beware that you don't lose that joy that you've got within your soul, that joy that you have in your spirit. So here again, happy is being lucky, fortunate. Boy, was I lucky. Well, I turn that word of lucky now when things happen to me. Instead of saying, boy, was I lucky, I go, wow, am I blessed. I'm taking the verbiage of the world, and I'm going to say, I'm not following the world's verbiage. I am a new creature. I am a new creation. I am not of the world anymore. I'm into the kingdom concept. And so what used to be luck is now a blessing that I'm receiving from God, and I'm going to call it that. Amen? A blessing from God. So we find that joy or happiness is tied to how we feel, our emotional things outside us, things that make us happy, things that make an enjoyable time within us. But we've got to go deeper than that. We've got to understand the joy that we speak of this holiday season and the joy that came down into that manger. Joy, the passion or emotion excited by the acquisition or the expectation of good. That excitement of pleasurable feelings, which is caused by success, good fortune, the gratification of desire, or something that is good being possessed. Something good being possessed. What am I possessed by? I'm a possessed man. How about you? I am possessed with the Holy Spirit. I am possessed by the power of God. God lives inside of me. I am no longer of my own. I've been bought with a price. Hallelujah. I'm possessed. Hallelujah, but I'm not possessed of the devil. Don't exercise me. Well, I could maybe use some exercise. I mean, well, you know, sit-ups and things of that nature. But don't call an exorcist to get this possession out of me. Hallelujah, because I love being possessed by that of God. Woo! Hallelujah. So that's it. I'm possessed, or it's by a rational prospect of possessing what we love or desire. Do you love God? You got to love God. Remember I talked early. My love for God developed into a relationship where my love for my wife, the love for the things even around, it probably helps me benefit of love to love you guys a lot better than when I used to love you because I was only happy or whatever the case is, or I only had the love that the world talked about, that now we are exhibiting that love from that of our Heavenly Father. You benefit from it. I benefit. If you are walking in love of that of God, I benefit from your love because you will look past my errors. You will look past my mistakes. You will look past the things that I've wronged in, and you will forgive, and you will say, we forgive you, and I'll accept it, and you'll accept my forgiveness, and guess what? We're walking in that love that's there. And that brings us joy. It's the prospect of possessing what we love or desire. Gladness is another part of joy. Exhilaration of the spirits. Joy is a delight of the mind from the consideration of the present or the assured approaching possessions of a good. The joy that I have, the joy that Jesus brought down to this earth at his birth, is the joy that goes forth into our days of today. Happiness depends on what? Good things happening to you. Happiness in itself depends on having good things happening to you. You know, I feel happy when people compliment me. Don't you? People come up and pat you on the back. Good job. Good job. Ooh, I feel good. It's happy when all these things are going right. Good job, good sales, whatever it is, promotions, developing of things. Your health is good. I'm happy. You're not going to see too many people that have ill health being happy, per se, of the world's happiness, are you? Despite our circumstances, joy is the river that flows with the life of God in us. Joy is the river that flows from the life of God in us. Rivers of living water. I thirsted in a barren land of whatever, you know, there's a song about that. We thirsted in that barren land. We've all been in that barren land, haven't we? But we have something that's there. We have an unlimited resources of love, of joy, of water, you know, water of the Spirit of God in us. But anyway, possession of something good. So remember, joy, the river that flows from the life of God in us. Joy lasts. Joy will last. It talks about, because joy of the Lord, it's good to remember that joy is not dependent on the people liking you. I don't care, you know, if I get in the realm of my closeness and relationship with God, I'm sure there's some people that don't like me, but you know what? I just want to make sure I'm liked by my God and that He loves me and I love Him. It is good to remember that joy is not dependent upon people liking you, and it's not related to your economic prosperity. Things will not always go well. You may be sick at times. You may suffer some financial situations. People may dislike you. Unfortunate things may come your way, but the joy may spring out of your sorrow. See, and that's that thing that we've got within us. When we go through these times of testings and all, it's what's going to keep you strong. It's going to be that of the Spirit of God in you, being able to manifest in you these things, or these attributes of Him, you know. We're talking of joy. So let's just focus the evidence of joy in our lives. Somebody understands you're going through a very hard time, but they talk to you, and in their talking and conversation and your conversation with them, they pick up that, yeah, you're going through a struggle, but it's like, but you seem like you still have hope. Didn't one of our candles have hope? You know? The other one, you seem to have love, even though you're going through a bad situation. You seem to have joy. The other one that we're going to have in the last candle, or will next week, will be peace. See, that's those things that people see in us as that of children of God, is they see of hope. They see a love. They see a joy. They see a peace. And all of those things may be copied or counterfeited from the world's ways of doing things, but that will not last. It will not sustain itself, because it's predicated on feelings and emotions and being happy. Well, you know, there's times I've not always been happy, but there's always that joy within me that wells up out of my soul. How about yours? There's that time to where you go through a trial or something like that, and you just get before the Lord, and you go to scriptures, and you go to things that remind you of these things. The Bible says this, what? Weeping may endure for a night, but what comes in the morning? Joy cometh in the morning. Psalms 30, verse 5. God is saying you're not going to have an easy life, that you're not going to go through this world without hardships, tribulations. He tells us to what? Count it all joy. Count it all joy when trials and things come to you. But it's for the perfecting of your faith. It's for perfecting you, making you stronger in the things of the kingdom. People need to see the strength of the kingdom of God here in the world of the kingdom of the devil. We are in two separate places, aren't we? I'm in the kingdom of God. Where are you? But I'm going to do all I can to try to influence what God wants me to do, to influence the people of the kingdom of this world, so that they can see that this world is nothing that you want to die for, but I'll die for the kingdom of God. Lay down your life. No greater love has a man for a brother than to lay his life down. Jesus did that. He laid his life down for me. I don't know if he laid it down for you, but I'm taking it personal. He laid it down for me. If he did for you, praise God, but he laid it down for me. Well, he laid it down for man that receives him. So we find that weeping may endure for the night, and sometimes we have long nights, don't we? But joy comes in the morning. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Psalms 126, 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Recently going through the health condition of our granddaughter, it's those times that I physically cannot do anything. I cannot go there and heal her. I don't have the knowledge, the wisdom, what medicine, what to do, what to take, how to do it. But I have a God that I go to. And I do find strength. I find joy in part of that because I know he's there. And I know we go through those trials and those tribulations, but I believe one of the evidential marks of a Christian is to say, but I still have the joy in me from that of God. And just because I have the joy of God doesn't mean that I understand what's taking place within the natural of situations happening. But I've got to remember that my God loves me. My God hears me. And he would tell me, hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. Joy is divinely imparted by God. It comes from digging deep into the reservoirs of God's love and grace by reading his word, hearing his word, seeking him out as that source. Don't turn to man to try to give you that joy. Don't turn to man to try to take care of your situations. But turn to who? God. And allow him to minister into those situations in your life. As we are waiting or wanting to focus on the joy as we follow these weeks here going into the times of Christmas, we find the conscious effort to keep the focus on the season and what it's representing. So much in the world today can take our focus off of God like that. Just like that. Wake up in the morning, and if by chance the news comes on, I would guarantee it, that in 30 seconds or less, your joy, your hope, your excitement or whatever for the day of what is going to take place can be quickly dashed by hearing the things of the world of what's taking place currently, overnight, whatever the case might be. But we got to keep a focus upon him, our focus upon Christ. It's the birth of our Lord Jesus, our Savior. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Nehemiah 8:10 says, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. We have sorrow. I've had sorrow. Have you had sorrow? Yeah. We should. We're human. We go through this life. We have people around us, loved ones, situations that come up. But we've got to remember that the joy of the Lord is my strength, even in that time of sorrow, even in that time of feeling like and knowing, not feeling, I know I have no power to take care of my granddaughter. But I've got the power beyond all, that of prayer. That to call upon my God and to contact prayer warriors and those in the family of God to unite in oneness and to cry out to him or to call up to him or just to say, hey, God, you know, Tim sent a text or an email and his granddaughter is needing healing, Lord. I just lift her up and touch her now. As simple as that. And bring healing into her body. But I know physically I can't do it, but I have that power. And the joy of the Lord helps me with that strength. So we find out the Amplified says this, and do not be worried for the day, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and your stronghold. See, when we go through situations of today, we need to have a stronghold. Amen? Now, anybody that would be in military understanding and battles and things of that nature, they understand what a stronghold is. You know, when the enemy has a stronghold, that means it's going to take a lot to fight to get that stronghold overcome. And we, on the good side, if we've got a stronghold, it's going to take the enemy more power and more things to come against us to overtake us because we've gotten entrenched. We've gotten protected. We've put barriers around us. We've used the lay of the land to help us have a stronghold from the natural to come and get to us. But it gives us the advantage to where we're on the higher top ground and we can see them coming and we can take care of them at a distance, whatever the case might be. But we have a stronghold. Well, you've got that. Don't be worried, for the joy of the Lord is your strength, and he is your stronghold. New Living, don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Yes, there are many times that weeping in the days, but in God's Word, he tells us what we've already said. Joy comes in the morning. sometimes for some of us, morning comes quick. You have a hard night sleeping or something like that, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, boy, joy, it's morning has come early. No, morning has always come. It's always on a 24-hour cycle. It's just us, you know, things taking place in our life. But yes, we find that joy in the morning. In Psalms 31 through 5, the Psalm of David, a dedication of a temple, here the temple, it says, I will exalt you, Lord, for you've rescued me. You refused to let my enemies triumph over me. O Lord, my God, I cry to you for help. Have you ever cried to God for help? And you restored my health. You brought me up from the grave. O Lord, you kept me from falling into the pit of death. Sing to the Lord, all you godly ones. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment. Oh, hallelujah for that. Woo. But his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but oh, joy here comes in the morning. There's something about sunrise, and it's usually through that of the night hours that it seems like everything caves in on us. It's several people and different ones I've talked to recently and in the past, when they're having trying times, they find out that they have a hard time sleeping at night, and it's dark out and it seems desolate, and it seems like that's when everything seems to be sometimes crashing down on you. That's probably a lot of times when a lot of helplines get called at 1 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. People can't sleep. They're just in turmoil. They're contemplating taking their life. So many things are taking place in them that they just, that nighttime when it gets dark, there's something about it that it just makes them, everything seems to be shutting in on them. But if they wait and look on the eastern horizon and seeing that sun coming up on that horizon, chances are there's a difference when the light comes up in the morning. Amen? There's a difference in us. We feel like, I can do it. I can take it. I can go on. Thank you, Father. For his anger lasts just a moment, his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but that joy comes in the morning. Joy, it's a positive attitude. It's a positive attitude. We have a lot of people, even in our Christian circles, that don't think positive. They think of the negative, or the doom and the gloom, or the things that are happening. They look at the natural, and they think that must be it. And the things that happen to us, we have an understanding that's a little different than the world, don't we? Because for us that are blood bought, Christ is my Lord and Savior. Heaven is prepared for me. Jesus has a place for Tim. That when I die, I'm going to heaven anyway. That's the joy we can have as well. And that's how we have peace. And that's why we have hope. And we have all of these things and the comfort that we have. It's to help us through where we're at now in life. But it's for us to also reflect upon to say, no matter what happens here, I win. No matter whether I'm here to see his return, which he said he will come back, I will see him then, or if I get called home before his second coming, I'm going to see him then. I guarantee it again. One way or the other, you're going to see him. And as us in this life is a temporal thing. It's passing like a vapor, it says in his word. Nothing like that than looking out at night or in the daytime or whenever it's frigid and cold and you breathe and you see your warm air coming out of your mouth, and it's that vapor. And pretty soon it doesn't stay very long. It just breaks apart, and it's all, before you know it, 5 feet from you, it's gone maybe. 10 feet, it's gone. That's kind of like our life. It's just a vapor here. We're here for so many years, and we want to be productive and honoring of God for those times. But the joy, the hope, the peace that I have, it's for here, but it's also because I just know that when that time comes, that he's got a place prepared for me. And it's going to be a greater place than this, let me tell you, right? You already know that, so it's okay. I don't have to call HGTV and do a remodel or something like that, you know. I don't need my mansion in heaven flipped. It's perfect already. It's ready. Joy, it's a positive attitude. Again, joy is gladness, contentment, cheerfulness is associated with joy. The joy that we receive from God is joy. This is holy and pure. It rises above the circumstances, and it focuses on that of the character, the very character of God. New King James in Psalm 71, the psalmist rejoices, says, but I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation. There it is. Oh, that salvation all the day. For I do not know their limits. I will go in strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours alone. That righteousness through him. Salvation is that of joy. We have that. New King James in Psalms 21:1 talks about the king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation. How greatly shall he rejoice. I will shout for joy and sing your praises, for you have ransomed, or you have redeemed me. Have you been redeemed today? Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed. Yes, we have. Forever a child I am. Yeah, mercy. How about mercy? I am radiant with joy because of your mercy, for you have listened to my... Anybody here got troubles? It says here, Psalms 31:7, Living says this, oh, I'm radiant with joy because of your mercy, for you have listened to my troubles and you have seen the cries in my soul. He has seen those things and he knows those things. Christian Standard says, I will rejoice and be glad in your faithful love because you have seen my affliction. You know the troubles of my soul. Oh, so many times, sometimes we, early on in our walk, would say, oh God, you just don't know. Oh God, you just don't see what I'm going through. Oh God, you just don't understand what this is doing. Yes, he does. He knows all. He knows how it's affecting you. But he also has the cure. When things are going well, we are elated. When hardships come, we sink into depression. True joy, on the other hand, transcends that rolling wave of our lives. Oh, isn't being up and down just something else? Ay, 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 up and down. And you find people that are really like that on a consistent basis. One day they're good, the next day they're down. You don't know whether to, when they're down, you don't really want to talk to them because it's like they'll bring you down, you know? But you find that and you go, sometimes there's people in all of our lives that you would go, I wonder how so-and-so is doing today. I got a 50-50% chance of they'll either be up or down, one or the other. And it depends on how they're going and what they're doing. We find that roller coaster. It's on their circumstances. But the joy that I want you to have today is that comes from us and it's consistent. It's consistent joy, but you got to have a consistent relationship with Christ. You can't leave him at the church when you go home. You can't leave him on Mondays at home or wherever the case might be and just say, well, I'll pick you back up on the way home. You know, he's got to be with you day in, day out, hour by hour by hour. Grasp that we can intertwine our lives with his. Allow him to interweave himself into your life, into your situation. And by doing that, I believe we will have that joy. We will have that joy. He will help us walk through adversities, hardships. We'll go through those without sinking into a depressional state. We'll walk through those times, but we won't have anxiety. We know depression and anxiety will do what to your body? Destroys your body. Living this life with Jesus will keep us encouraged. That's the thing about the season and all the time, throughout the entire year. But being encouraged year in and year out, day in and day out. Be ye encouraged. Be satisfied. Be joyful no matter what comes your way. That's the mark of a true Christian, to where you can have that joy. And it's not to deny your circumstances, not to deny that, well, I am feeling bad, or I do have this, or I got a pain, or I got a, you know, whatever the case is. That's okay. I don't mind hearing a Christian brother or sister saying, boy, I'm just hurting here and I don't know what's going on. Well, let's pray about it. Turn it over to God. Ask God to minister healing into it, you know. We had a wonderful message again back in the Sunday school hour going through wonderful, powerful men and women of awakenings and revivals. And the one thing is we find some of them that were so powerful and doing mighty things for God, they died at a very young age. In some of the thought process, the commentator brought forth saying that, I think sometimes what happens, we got to realize that there is that power within us, the Spirit is working in us, but he is working in mortal bodies, flesh and things that get sick and get wore out in these things. And we've got to be keen to the Spirit to know when we need rest. To rest. Jesus rested, didn't he? Didn't he take time to get away? Yeah. You would think he had a mission. I'm here. I'm doing what my fathers want me to do. I got to go. I got to go. I got to run. I got to touch. I got to save. I got to do. He just would have kept going, 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 going. But even our Jesus took time to rest, to recharge his batteries, to sleep. The thing with him is, he could even sleep going through, you know, bad times. Rocking the boat, the waves, the boisterous seas, and all that, that the disciples were worried that they're going to drown. And where's Jesus? Sleeping down below. Even though the things are happening around, he was probably just like a baby in a cradle. You know, rocking. But he wasn't concerned. But he had to have rest too. So we need rest as well. But we know that because depression and anxiety and the wearing down of the body brings on other things within us that physically take us down and could physically take you out sooner than you really were supposed to go. It's not some of these things like, well, bless his heart, I guess God needed him to call and called him home. You know, sometimes it's things that happen that, you know, we've got to be managing what we're to manage and turn all the other stuff over to God for sure. John 15:11 says that Jesus will fill us with joy. It says, love and joy perfected is the title. It says, as for the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be remaining in you, and that your joy may be full. Who here wants full joy? I want, just like being tapped up to 100% plus or 110% filled with the Holy Spirit, fill me up to overflowing of joy, Lord. Hallelujah, because I'm going to need it. How about you? That your joy may be full. I have told you these things, it says in the New Living for verse 11, that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Overflow. Thank you, Lord. This verse here, I just want to kind of go to and close. It comes out of Hebrews 12. And Hebrews 12 talks about that race of faith. The title in my Bible here. But in Hebrews 12, it starts off with, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which is so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus. This word is signifying undivided attention. Looking away from all the distractions in order to fix one's gaze upon one object. Looking unto Jesus. That's the only place we need to be looking. Don't fixate on anything else around you and the things of this world. But get to the point where it says here in 12:2, Hebrews 12:2, verse 2, okay? Looking fixated upon Jesus, who is the author, he's the originator, and the finisher, the perfecter of what? Our faith. Who, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. But look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Wow. The joy set before him going to the cross. My, my, my. The runner must not look to the other contestants, but we must ever keep our eyes fixed upon that of Jesus. As we learn of this, the disciple is an apprentice to that of Jesus, learning to live as he did. God disciplines his children, correcting and training them to live in his kingdom. Correction, if received with the right attitude of heart, produces the fruit of righteousness. And the Father's object is to bring his children to what? That of maturity. And so that endured the cross, that the joy that was set before him. My goodness. So as I look at that, I would think of, says here of actions and these things. It says, we need to discard any attitude or practice that hinders your walk or our walk with Christ. Model our life after that of Jesus. Give careful thought and study to the life of Jesus, and that will bring you the encouragement and the help for you, even in dealing with the sins and things that come upon you. But as I looked at that yesterday, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, there's going to be times that we have that joy in us, and it's going to be things that we're going up against that's not pleasant. But we've got to have and receive and have that joy, that same type of joy that Jesus had back at that time as well. And so I think it helps us understand, it helped me understand that, yes, I've got joy. Yes, I will have conflicts. Yes, there will be things in my life and situations that are not always the ideal thing. But I've got a source that I go to help correct those things, or to at least keep me strong, that I will go through those things, that I will have a stronghold with him, and that he will take care of me. And throughout all of these things in my life, how about your life, that I will be able to find that joy that I have. And we also know that one scripture, and wrapping this up, about how a merry heart doeth good like medicine. Well, to have a merry heart, you can't be despondent, I don't think. You know, a merry heart does not tell me that you're sad and downtrodden. A merry heart says you've got joy. You've got a happy heart. And it does like that of medicine. Could go on, and there's things out there you can look at, studies that have been taken out there on people that have physical problems, and sometimes medical science can't really crack into the thing of what it is, but if they begin to have a joy and begin to even laugh, it does interesting things to the body. We know that, you're aware of that, the endorphins and the things that come out of chemicals within our body. I think that's why God, when he designed us with these traits of crying, that releases the chemical that we need in our system to take care of things. Laughing, that releases a chemical within our system to help us deal with things. And sometimes we try to harbor those things, we try to hold them down, and it's like, don't hold them down. If you gotta cry, cry. If you're gonna laugh, laugh, because it's all for the good of your body. Do you believe that? See, these things are put within us. But I think the one thing we need to keep our focus on, and knowing that of God, is I want to walk daily with that peace and that hope and that love and that joy that came through that of Jesus Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we thank you for this day, Lord, I thank you for your word. May it always resound in our spirit. That which we hear from a message on a Sunday to that which we read on our quiet times by ourselves. Lord, that your word would continually just keep moving in us, into our thoughts and into our heart, so that we will remain strong and that we will walk in the peace and the joy and the love and all that you would have. I pray a blessing upon each one here today. Lord, just be there. Be there. Let them understand that you, Lord, be that stronghold in them. Let them understand that what the world calls happiness is fine for the world, but what your kingdom calls joy is what I really want. And I thank you that it endures throughout the night, and it brings newness in the morning hour, and it brings us strength to get through situations. Father, we love you. Thank you. Thank you for your love for us. Hallelujah. As we go this day, this week, oh, hallelujah, Lord. Let those around us see that joy within us. We love you, Father. We love you. We honor you. We praise you. And Lord, be glorified. Be glorified in my life. Be glorified in my home. Be glorified in my songs. Be glorified in my church. Oh, ye be glorified. Be glorified in all that I'm doing to bring honor and glory unto you, Father. Mm-hmm.